Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Jack Hinson's One Man War by Tom C. McKenney is a Civil War biography centered on John W. Hinson, a Tennessee plantation owner who became known as a Confederate partisan sniper after Union soldiers killed two of his sons. The book combines military history, regional biography, and revenge narrative, placing Hinson's personal transformation within the contested borderland of Western Tennessee and Kentucky. McKenney presents Hinson as a man who initially resisted secessionist enthusiasm, maintained practical relations with Union officers, and tried to remain outside the conflict until family violence drew him into it. The work follows his use of a specially made long rifle, his attacks on Union River traffic, and his later association with Confederate cavalry operations. It is also a book that requires critical reading, IBS, because its dramatic reconstruction depends on limited personal documentation and reflects a strongly Southern interpretive stance. Its purpose is both commemorative and explanatory, recovering an obscure figure while arguing that local violence shaped Civil War loyalties. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, neutrality collapses after family violence on the Tennessee border. A central theme of the book is the fragility of neutrality in a civil conflict. Hinson is portrayed not as an early ideologue, but as a prosperous landowner who hoped to survive the war by avoiding firm commitment. His location made that difficult. Stewart County, Tennessee, sat near major military routes and river corridors, where Union occupation, Confederate resistance, and local loyalties overlapped. McKenney uses Hinson's story to show how civilians in border regions could be pulled into war by events that were intensely personal rather than abstractly political. The reported killing and beheading of Hinson's sons becomes the turning point in the narrative, converting caution into retaliation, whether one accepts every reconstructed detail or not. The book treats the episode as an example of how military occupation could radicalize people who had previously sought distance from the conflict. This focus gives the biography its distinctive structure. The Civil War is not presented only as armies maneuvering across maps, but as a chain of local encounters in which family honor, fear, punishment, and revenge reshaped individual allegiance. Secondly, the custom long rifle turns personal revenge into irregular warfare. The book gives unusual attention to the material and tactical side of Hinson's campaign, especially the specially commissioned 50 caliber rifle associated with his later reputation. McKenney treats the weapon as more than a prop. It represents the shift from grief to method, from anger to sustained action. Hinson's alleged targets included Union soldiers and personnel connected with river operations on the Cumberland and Tennessee rivers, making his violence part of the larger problem of protecting supply lines in occupied territory. The emphasis on long-range shooting distinguishes the book from many Civil War biographies that focus on commanders, regiments, or formal battles. Hinson operates in the margins of conventional war, using terrain, concealment, patience, and knowledge of river traffic rather than massed formations. This makes the book useful for readers interested in irregular warfare, because it shows how a single local actor could exploit geography and routine movement. At the same time, the sniper theme raises ethical questions. The narrative often frames Hinson's actions as vengeance and resistance. But the same episodes can also be read as assassination, reprisal, or guerrilla violence outside regular military accountability. Thirdly, river geography and regional campaigns shape the entire biography. McKenney places Hinson's life within the strategic geography of the Western Theater, especially the Cumberland and Tennessee rivers. These waterways were not background scenery. They were military arteries that connected forts, supply routes, naval movement, and occupied communities. The fall of Fort Henry and Fort Donelson brought Union power deep into the region and made local civilians subject to a changing military order. By keeping the narrative tied to these river corridors, the book explains why Hinson's home territory mattered and why a man with intimate local knowledge could become dangerous to occupying forces. The discussion of regional campaigns also broadens the biography beyond a single revenge story. Hinson's reported contacts with Confederate cavalry, including forces associated with Nathan Bedford Forrest, show how informal resistance could intersect with organized military operations. The book, therefore, works as a localized history of war in Western Tennessee as much as a personal biography. Its strongest contextual value lies in showing how grand strategy and household tragedy were connected by geography. Armies seized forts, rivers became contested routes, and nearby families experienced the consequences directly. Fourthly, scarce documentation forces a blend of scholarship and reconstruction. One of the most important limitations of the book is also one of the reasons it exists. Hinson did not leave a rich personal archive that would allow a historian to quote his private reflections or reconstruct every action with certainty. McKenney reportedly spent many years researching him, drawing on scattered sources, regional records, oral memory, military context, and later accounts. That effort gives the book substance, but it also creates a methodological problem. When a biographical subject leaves few direct traces, the historian must decide how much inference is acceptable. The book often reads with narrative confidence, which makes it accessible and dramatic. Yet some critics argue that it presents conjecture too firmly. This is especially relevant when the text describes motives, emotional states, or precise scenes that may not be directly documented. Readers should therefore distinguish between the broad historical framework, which is grounded in recognizable Civil War events, and the more intimate reconstruction of Hinson's inner life. The book is valuable as recovery history, but its evidentiary gaps mean it should be read alongside more conventional scholarship on the Western theater and guerrilla warfare. Lastly, a Southern partisan interpretation shapes the moral framing. The biography is not neutral in tone or interpretation. McKenney presents Hinson sympathetically, emphasizing personal loss, retaliation against perceived injustice, and resistance to Union occupation. The book also includes a broader Southern perspective on the causes and conduct of the Civil War, including arguments that many historians would regard as controversial or incomplete. This interpretive stance matters because it influences how violence is framed. Union actions against Hinson's family are treated as the moral origin of his campaign, while his subsequent killings are often placed within a narrative of justified vengeance. For some readers, this provides an emotionally coherent account of a man pushed beyond endurance. For others, it risks turning a violent partisan into an uncomplicated hero and underplaying the wider context of slavery, Confederate politics, and the brutal reciprocity of a regular war. The book stands out because it openly inhabits this perspective rather than hiding it. Its usefulness, therefore, depends partly on the reader's expectations. As a window into Confederate memory and local legend, it is revealing. As a fully balanced academic interpretation, it should be approached with caution. In conclusion, Jack Hinson's One Man War is best suited for readers who already have some interest in Civil War history, especially the Western theater, borderland communities, river warfare, and irregular combat. It will also appeal to readers drawn to obscure historical figures whose lives sit between documented fact and regional legend. The practical benefit of the book is its close attention to how war reaches civilians and how personal grievance can become military action. Intellectually, it encourages reflection on neutrality, occupation, revenge, and the difficulty of writing biography when the subject left limited direct testimony. What makes it stand out from many Civil War books is its scale. Instead of focusing on presidents, famous generals, or major battlefield movements, it follows one local actor whose story intersects with major strategic currents through geography and violence. Its limitations are equally important. Readers seeking a detached academic study may find the sympathetic Confederate framing and reconstructed scenes problematic. The strongest way to read it is as a detailed, partisan, and research-driven recovery of a neglected figure, not as the final word on Civil War guerrilla violence. In that role, it offers a memorable and specific perspective that complements broader military histories. If you would like to support Tom C. McKenney, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around!